Well, it does feel so good to be in the house of the Lord with the people of the Lord. It was so good to be at the groundbreaking ceremony. I was so ready for that, y'all. I know that no one else is ready for a new church but me, but I was so ready for it. I got out there and I started thinking, you know, I'm excited about this. I'll be even more excited when the foundation is laid and poured. And then I really was out there thinking, maybe I should have been thinking about what was actually happening. I don't know. But I was thinking about laying the foundation, and I thought, you know, really and truly, and I know we don't have a concrete foundation out there yet, but this foundation of Sanctuary Church is more than poured. My family was able to start coming to Sanctuary Church at the rented property off of Southwest Drive, and we never were able to be in the house with the wonderful kids' classroom you talk about. And yet, I remember coming and enjoying the services there. And the very first thing that really sticks in my memory about that service in the church at Southwest was a series that Pastor did, and it was over 2 Peter, and it was entitled Simply Simon. And then I started thinking about so many things that I remember about Sanctuary Church throughout the years. It is based on Wednesday night Bible study, and maybe that's because I'm a nerd. It could be. I am that. But I remember so many series and things that as we've dug into the Word together, it's just stuck with me. And I remember that on 2 Peter, and I remember talking about lured and talking about offense, and some of you remember just, I don't know how long ago now, 2020 messes up my perception of this, but we talked about the high call of holiness and things like that, and it's just so important, and it drove home to me in that moment how important it is to be able to be in Bible study together, because there's so many things that as the Word is broken down, and I'm not saying this to be self-serving, because most of the time I'm sitting there with you guys, but as the Word is broken down, there's so many things that just sticks with you, and I so enjoy this, and I so am so grateful that you're here with us for Bible study tonight. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. We're continuing in a series. Tonight we were talking about when we had our anniversary services. Brother O'Connell Sr. talked about different lamps that the church needs to continue to keep burning, and we've been kind of breaking those down over the last few weeks. So Philippians 2, verses 5 through 10 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." Now that's good by itself. If we want to be like Christ, we don't need to be trying to ladder climb all the time. We don't need to be putting our name out to see how high we can get or how famous we can get. But we are never more like Christ than when we come to serve. And I am so thankful to be a part of a church that truly serves. And I have never been around anyone in my entire time at Sanctuary Church that I have felt like you have done anything with a bad attitude or anything with the wrong spirit. And I truly do feel like that is one of the reasons why God has blessed this church, because there are people here that want to have the mind of Christ to be a servant. But anyway, continuing on. "And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." So we're going to continue in this series tonight, and we're just going to discuss the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for a lengthy introduction. I do appreciate it. So why does the name of Jesus matter so much? I think that is the question that we have to ask ourselves as we dive into this. Why does it matter so much? Why do we as Oneness Apostolics place so much emphasis on the name? Because even when we compare ourselves to other Christian denominations, the emphasis on the name of the Lord in the Oneness Apostolic movement is unmatched. It is unparalleled. And I'm not throwing stones tonight because of that. I'm just saying that is the reality. We, as Oneness Apostolics, I'm not talking about this church in particular, but I mean in the Oneness Apostolic Movement, we emphasize the name of Jesus Christ more than any other people, more than any other denominations in the world. It's crazy to even say this from a pulpit, at least it feels this way to me, but as a movement, our focus on emphasizing, exalting, promoting, and praising the name of Jesus to the exclusion of everything else has even garnered us some significant criticism through the years. The apostolic movement has been criticized because we emphasize the name of Jesus, and some people feel like we're leaving some other things out, or maybe we're just going overboard with this. As if you could read the Bible, as if you could read the Bible and think, man, you could just give Jesus a little too much credit. Right? As if you could read this book and think, man, I think Jesus is just getting a little too much glory for the things that he has done. It's kind of ridiculous to think, but we truly have gotten criticism for that. And I don't mean this church in particular, but this movement as a whole. But if we go back to this original question, why does the name of Jesus matter so much? I would say that there is a principle of interpreting the Bible that I like to use when I'm reading, and it's probably because I didn't go to Bible school long enough or at all. But when we read Scripture, this principle goes like this, and this is just me. But I think we ought to think and believe that God wrote down and said what he meant. Amen. That's all it is. I don't think that God went through the trouble of giving us this book to confuse us. Because if that was his goal, he would have given us nothing. And that would have sufficed. The Bible even says God is not the author of confusion. In many cases, in most cases, God has been very plain about what he wants us to believe and what he wants us to think. We have quoted the verse, God is not a man that he should lie. Why is that? Because he don't have to. What's lying going to do? Keep him out of trouble? Right? If he says it, it's done. If he says this is the way it is, that's the way it is. And so he doesn't have to mince his words. He doesn't have to tread carefully. Now, he's not mean. He's not abrasive. He's at least not purposefully. He does speak the truth in love, but he also speaks the truth, right? And so I believe that the Bible says what it means. So why does the name of Jesus matter so much? Well, it's because God said it mattered. It's because the book that he gave us that Pastor Austin talked about just a week ago, this book says it matters, and this is his divinely inspired word. This is the word of God, and he said it mattered. And as God reveals things to us in Scripture, we are responsible for responding accordingly to that revelation. As God reveals things to you and as he reveals things to me, our responsibility is to hear that and receive that and not just get it up in here, but respond to that God has given us. It just makes sense. When God reveals to us that baptism is not just ceremonial, when he shows us in Scripture and we see that. Now, I understand that there are many people that haven't seen that revelation yet, and we're not throwing stones at anybody. But when God reveals that to us and when we see that in the book, we read verses like Nora read and Pastor talked about where the Bible says that baptism doth now save us. We are responsible for responding to that revelation. If we read it and we understand it, God is holding us accountable because he said, I have entrusted you with this truth and I want this to change your life. If I didn't want it to change your life, I wouldn't have let you understand it. But if you do read it and you do understand it, he wants you to use that. So as God opens our understanding of Scripture, we place emphasis and we place importance on what he says. Therefore, we value and promote and exalt and proclaim the name of Jesus proportionately with our understanding and belief of who Jesus is. Right. It's proportionate. Whatever we feel like he is and whoever we feel like he is what we're going to believe about him and his name. There are many people all over the world who are not Christian. And perhaps, you know, perhaps they believe that Jesus was only a historical figure. He's the leader, perhaps, of a movement that has been gone for many, many years. Maybe inspired a religion, but don't really believe in him in a religious sense. And if you ascribe to that belief system, you will naturally not place very much significance on the power of the name of Jesus because you don't believe he is anyone to be trusted. You don't believe he's anyone who has done anything significant. And then there are people who perhaps believe that Jesus is a portion or a one-third of a Trinity or a triune God, if you will. And certainly if you believe that and ascribe to that belief, you will put more emphasis on the name than the unbeliever would. And that's wonderful. That's great. But you've also got two other people or two other members of the Godhead to deal with. And you've got to give them their due if you believe that. However, if you understand the singular oneness of God, as our pastor taught just a few weeks ago now, there cannot possibly be enough emphasis, weight, or significance placed on that name of Jesus. If you understand who he is and you really understand what he has done, you realize that you cannot give him enough credit. You cannot lift his name up too much. You cannot turn to him too much. You can't just give your life to him too much. He does have a name that is above every name. There is only one God who created the heavens and the earth. And I'm going to touch some oneness stuff because I don't feel like you can talk about the name and do that to the exclusion of the oneness of God. But there's one God who created the heavens and the earth. He guided and performed miracles for all those people we read about in the Old Testament. He parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. He talked to Moses on the mountain and gave him the Ten Commandments. He made Jericho's walls fall flat. He made the sun stand still in the sky for Joshua. He sent fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. He was with David when he fought Goliath. He was with, you just go down the list, right? Everything that you read about in the Old Testament that God did, well, God did it. And we get to the New Testament. That same God manifests himself in flesh. That word manifest literally means made known. He let you know him by putting on skin and bones. He clothes and wraps himself in flesh and is born of a virgin named Mary, laid in a manger. He grows up, he preaches, he calls his disciples, he does miracles, and eventually he's crucified for our sins. And after he rises again from the grave, he's taken up into glory. That same spirit that was in Jesus, that same spirit that created the world, comes again on the day of Pentecost and continues moving and working to this day in his people. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God who created the world, into our heart. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit that created the heaven and the earth in the beginning. Now, to some people, what I just said sounds a little bit strange, but I'm here to tell you, God did not want this to be confusing. In fact, I'm going to show you in Scripture, he was extremely plain. He was extremely plain. Sometimes we do some gymnastics to prove how smart we are, but there are some times that Jesus just said literally exactly what he meant. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59. I love this passage. It's wonderful. John 8, 56 through 59. It says this, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And Jesus is speaking here, and if you've got red letters in your Bible, you'll see that. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then now here's the strange part. You got to get this next part, because this is wild. If you don't understand what he just said, this makes no sense to you. It says, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus literally claims to have been around in the days of Abraham. And we can point to Jesus Christ. We can go to Matthew and say, well, you were born then. Right? How is this even true? But he claims this, and the Jews say, how is that possible? And then Jesus replies, he says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, the Jews don't respond very well to this, because, and in fact, they try to kill him. They're taking up stones and say, well, we're going to kill this dude, because they believe he is just blasphemed. From the bottom of their heart, these one God people know that he was born and said, how can this be? We're going to kill him because this is blasphemy, because Jesus had just claimed to be the God of the Old Testament. He claimed to be the God that told Moses, I am that I am. He claimed to be the God that called Abraham to leave all that he knew. Jesus made it very plain what he was saying. He said, you know how I know Abraham? Because I was the guy he was talking to. I was there. I was there when he parted the Red Sea. I did it. I did it. You know, I was there that when the Egyptians had the plagues on them. I did it with my own hand. I was the guy that put Jonah in the well, and I was the guy that pulled him out of the well. I was the guy that was with David when he faced Goliath. Before Abraham was, I am. And if you don't understand that he's saying that, when they try to kill him, that doesn't make any sense. But they certainly understood what he was saying. Now, Jesus claimed just then to be the creator and the father in the Old Testament. The epistles go on to tell us that by him, all things were created. All things were made that were made. Not only that, but Jesus tells us that the spirit that we experience today is him coming to us. Specifically, he says this, or either that, or he's a big old liar. So Matthew 28:20, I hope I'm not offending anybody. I'm really not trying to. This is just how my brain works. So Matthew 28:20, it says this. This is the last verse in the book of Matthew. There are no more, right? So this is what you get. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. This is Jesus speaking. Anybody know what happens next? Jesus is taken up into heaven. Now, what did he just say? I'm going to be with you forever. But then he's taken up into glory. He says, I'm out, scout, and you're on your own. Now, how does this even work? Because either you believe that Jesus said this and is a liar and he cannot be trusted, or you can believe that Jesus actually meant exactly what he said. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God is poured out, and this Spirit stays with the disciples and us even today, that is Jesus staying with us even to the end of the world. Jesus is the Father. He claimed to be the Father. He claimed to have created it all. He claimed to be the I Am. He is the Son. We know him as the Son. He is the Holy Spirit that is with us to the end of the world. He is the Spirit that comes to us. He made it plain in his word. So this is why it's so important, because until we understand the oneness of God, we cannot truly comprehend the preeminence and power of his name. He has a name that is above every name. He is not equal to anyone else. He is not beside anyone else. He is certainly not behind anyone else, but he is above all. He did it all himself. He did it all himself. This is why the name is so important. We are privileged to live in a day where He has revealed this to us. Think of how privileged we are to live in this time, because after all those years in the Old Testament, they did not have what we have. They did not know the name of God. I have seen a book, and I might even own it, but I make fun of it. It's called, and it's not a bad book, but it's called The Power of God's Names. It's not an apostolic book. It is denominal. But the thing is God actually doesn't have names. Now, we will say, just in religious circles and stuff, we'll say, do you know the names of God? To see, you know, if you're really studied and know them all. But truly, God doesn't have a lot of names. He has one name and a lot of titles. Because what they did in the Old Testament is, since they did not have a name for God, they would describe Him based on what He had done. Correct. And so Abraham calls Him Jehovah Jireh, which means He is our provider. The Israelites called Him Jehovah Rapha, which means He's our healer. Moses called Him Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Gideon calls Him Jehovah Shalom, which means our peace. But we get to call Him Jesus because He is our everything. Does anybody know tonight that Jesus is our provider? He is our healer. He is our banner. He is our peace. Jesus is our shepherd. He is our righteousness. He is the God who is present and near and here with us. Are you thankful on a Wednesday night that you know the name that is above every name? Oh, why don't you give Him glory wherever you are? Jesus, we love You, God. We thank You for the revelation of who You are, and that You're near to us, and that You provide for us, and that You hold us and You keep us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you thankful that you know who He is? Are you thankful that He is those things for you? That we didn't have to come up with a lot of different names, not to say that there's anything wrong with that. But man, it's sure nice to know Him on a personal level. I don't presume to even have any comprehension of what it would have been like to be an Abraham or to be one of these people in the Old Testament. But to be worshiping a God that you have to give a title. You know, they get to see what He did. I'm not saying that there's no relationship, because God spoke to these people. He met with them on mountaintops. He talked to them through burning bushes. He spoke to His people. But yet, through all that, there's a veil. And they don't, ultimately, they don't know who He is. And yet, contained in the name of Jesus is the culmination of every promise and every scripture in this book, because all of the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. That's why we emphasize the name so much. We emphasize the name of Jesus because the Bible tells us that there isn't salvation in any other name. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. That is not a word with wiggle room. If I'm a teacher and I have to be careful to not give students words with wiggle room. If I'm giving kids something and I don't have desks in my room because I'm a band director and it's just a hassle, but I teach some general music classes, and so when I have kids write, if there's enough chairs in the room for it, they like to pull other chairs over to help them write, but before long, if I'm not careful, they'll put their nasty feet up on top of the chair, and that drives me nuts because they just came from recess. There's dirt all over them. And so I will say things that I feel like there's no wiggle room in, like, don't put your feet on the chair. And they will say things like, Mr. Curtis, it's my legs on the chair. And I will say, go to the office. Not really, I don't say that. But there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, you can be saved however you want, but if you want to be saved like the Bible says to be saved, that's what you must be saved by. The name gives us access to salvation that we otherwise would not have access to. knowing the right people has benefits. You ever get a job because of who you know? I'm not saying it's how it should work. I'm just asking if you ever have had some benefits because you knew somebody. It is certainly a good thing. I remember going down to the Arkansas District Campground when I was a kid's camper, maybe even too young to be a kid's camper, to be honest. I don't know. And at that time, I was staying at my grandparents' cabin at the campground, and there came up a situation where I needed to ask my grandmother something. Now, unfortunately for me, she did not go out to the campground just to hang out, but she went down to the campground to work. That's a bummer if you need to find her. But I did know that she was working in the cafeteria. So I had my question, and I said, you know, she might be getting food ready for everybody, but I'm going to go down there. I know where the cafeteria is. I'm going to beat on the back of that door, and I'm going to say, let me see her. And so here I go. I go, and I beat on the back of the door, and I have my question ready, and I'm waiting with bated breath. And as I knock on the door flings open wide, and it isn't my grandmother. Now, this is a problem. Because what they thought was that I was a troublemaker interrupting their work, which might have been true, to be honest with you, I don't know. But I didn't feel like I was, and I said, I'm here to see Nana. That did not help my case. Now, I had always called her Nana, and she was Nana to me. But she was not Nana to everybody else on that campground. And so when I said, I'm here to see Nana, I didn't give them a name. And they said, Nana ain't here. And they shut the door and I was closed out. Would you believe that? Quicker than I could blink. But I found out that day that a name matters. If I would have said, Sister Hicks is who I'm looking for, they would have known exactly who I was talking about. She had worked on the campground many, many, many times. They would have got her to me. Her name would have given me access that I did not have otherwise. But unless I used her name, I did not get very far. And if we want access to this great salvation that Jesus has bought with us with his own precious blood, we have to use his name. There is no other name that is sufficient. That's not the Bible according to Brother Curtis. That's the Bible according to the Bible. There's no other name. No other name. We preach and emphasize the name of Jesus because there's safety in the name of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10. I'm sorry I'm taking a long time tonight. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Do we realize that this verse and so many other verses in the Old Testament were written about the significance of the name of the Lord? Were written before there was an open revelation of what that name even was. You thought that there was safety in the name of the Lord back then when you only had titles. How much more is it there for us now? How much more is that name a strong tower for us now when we know him and know what he's done for us? The name of the Lord was a strong tower of protection for the righteous, but they only knew him as Jehovah this and Jehovah that. It was a strong tower of protection for the righteous, yet there was no way to have his name called over your life in the way that has been provided for us today. When we repent today in 2021, the blood that he shed at Calvary covers our sins. When we get baptized, his name covers us and our sins are remitted. When we receive the Holy Ghost, that is his spirit, his name that gets inside of us, we are baptized into Christ. If you want to be in that strong tower that is his name, is that not a type of baptism today? When we are baptized into his name, when we get inside his plan and his protection for us and have that over us and over our past and over our sins and over our failures, what better protection could we have? You're protected against the penalty of sin. You're protected against the lies and devices of the enemy of your soul. We need to get inside of the name and let that name get inside of us so that we can live righteously and live at peace with our past. There is no protection in this world so secure as positioning ourselves underneath the name of Jesus Christ. Because when we get ourselves in Him, to live is Christ, but even to die is gain. What protection? What protection? The Bible says that salvation was in the name. It said that safety was in the name. Can I tell you tonight that healing is in the name? Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 8. Acts 3, 2 through 8 says this. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I want to say this. If God ever does a miracle for you or I, let our response be what He did, which is to go into the house of the Lord and give Him glory for what He has done. He has done miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And let me go in walking and leaping and magnifying and praising God. Let us have that right response. Now, when we read this passage, it is important to note two things that Peter and John did not give that lame man. Right. He did not give him silver or gold or other monetary compensation. That is apparently obvious because it says he didn't. Right. However, more than that, Peter did not give that man a healing. Peter did not give that man a healing. Peter or John never said, "I give you healing." He did not have healing to give. He is just a man. Rather, what he gave that man was the name of Jesus. It is what he says. He says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee." In the name of Jesus, this is what he had. He has no ability to heal that man's legs. He has no ability to make that man who is lame since birth not be lame anymore. He does not have that ability. All he has is the ability to give him the name that is above every other name. Peter didn't have money to give. He didn't have the ability to miraculously heal. He just could give in the name of Jesus, and that was enough. We preach the name of the Lord because healing is in the name. It's not just a token thing we say when we put names on the screen, but healing is in the name. That's not the gospel according to Sanctuary Church. It's not the gospel according to Brother Curtis. It's not the gospel according to the UPC, but that is the gospel according to this book, which Pastor Austin told us it is the Word of God. And there's that example and so many others in your...
I believe they're watching right now. Sister Vicky, I believe you and Brother James are watching right now. And I just felt impressed in my spirit that we just need to do this right now. We don't have healing. We don't have miracles. That's not found in any of us. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let that foot receive strength just like it did for that man at the temple. Let her foot receive strength right now and healing right now through the name. A miracle right now through the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Jesus is
the name. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Do it, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We believe today that you will do a miracle. And we're going to give you all the glory and all the honor for it. Healing is through Him. It's through His authority. By His stripes we are healed. He's paid the price for you and I to have healing. But if we want access to it, we have to use His name. We need to speak the name of Jesus over every situation in our lives, over every sickness in our lives, over everything that we face. He has infinite authority to heal and set free and deliver. And at the mention of His name, every knee bows. At the mention of His name, every fever breaks. At the mention of His name, every storm ceases. At the mention of His name, every sin is forgiven. At the mention of His name, every marriage can be mended. At the mention of His name, He can do anything. He has the authority. He has the power. Healing is in His name. Spiritual healing is in His name. For every person tonight who finds themselves lost and away from His presence, spiritual healing is in His name. He is as close as the mention of His name. I don't care if you are in the pig pen spiritually, as the prodigal son was. If you'll start fixing your mind on Jesus and fixing your mind on wanting to come home, He will meet you today. Spiritual healing is in that name. Physical healing is in the name for those who are facing an impossible diagnosis. Emotional healing is in His name for those who are dealing with depression and battles of the mind. Our healing is in Him and through Him and by Him. There is nothing. It's all in Him. Don't let people get you messed up on this. Don't let people get you messed up. And I know there are preachers on television that make a mockery of this, and I understand that there are wolves in sheep's clothing who have gotten this wrong, that says if you'll send in $1,000 or whatever it is that you'll be healed. That's not how it works. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying what Jesus said, that He has the ability to heal, that by His stripes we're healed, that healing is in His name. That's not sacrilege. That's Bible. That's not pie in the sky. That's Bible. That's what it is. It's not us putting 20 on 10, but it's what God wants for you. He wants healing for you, and He wants healing for me. Salvation's in the name. Safety's in the name. Healing is in the name. And finally, and I'm wrapping up, but purpose is in the name. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let this, if you're ever, and there's 50,000 verses on why we baptize in Jesus' name, or why we pray in Jesus' name. But if you're ever on the fence, let this be it for you. It's another verse that just doesn't really give you a lot of wiggle room. Whatever you do in word, whatever you talk about, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This scripture ought to be the anthem of the apostolic church. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Every message that is ever preached, we ought to do it in the name of Jesus. Every prayer that falls out of our lips and goes up to heaven, or even when it feels like it falls on the floor, we ought to do that in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do needs to be in His name. But no, it's not just talking about spiritual things. It's talking about everything. Whatsoever you do, Jesus is our ultimate purpose. If I can have somebody maybe play the piano for me a little bit. But Jesus is our ultimate purpose. If we cannot do a job and do it in His name, we ought not to do it. That's tough sometimes. It's tough for me sometimes. But if we can't do a job and do it in His name, if we can't go to our workplace and do it in His name, and I think there's a lot of things that we can do to be in the world and not be of the world. I am not advocating for everybody to go quit your job and isolate yourself and live, you know, by yourself on the top of a mountain somewhere. But if we cannot, and if we cannot do it for His glory, and if we cannot do it in His name, we ought not to do it. If we cannot pursue a hobby or activity and do it in the name of the Lord, if it cannot be wholesome, and if it cannot be edifying, and if it cannot ultimately in some way bring glory to God, we ought not to do it. If my hobbies or job or pursuits pull me away from Jesus Christ and cannot ultimately help me bring glory to His name and not just mine, I must remove myself from those activities, because serving the Lord and doing it for Him is my ultimate purpose. That's not the gospel according to me. It's the gospel according to the gospel. Whatever I do, whatever it is, it's got to be in His name. Not everything that's secular is bad. Please don't misunderstand me. I work a secular job. I have hobbies that aren't just prayer and Bible reading. But if I find myself being tugged away by those things that are outside of the church and outside of devotion and outside of what He has called me to and outside of relationship with Jesus Christ, if I feel myself being pulled away, and if I find myself moving away from a relationship with Him and moving away from glorifying Him with my mind and my body and my soul and my heart and my strength and all these things that we talk about, if I move away from letting Him being the center of every area of my life, I have made a wrong turn somewhere, and I need to make it right, because we are called to do it all in the name of Jesus. And so I challenge us today as we stand together. I know we pray in the name. I know we worship in the name. Nobody does this better hopefully it's Holy Ghost pride and not just pride. But nobody does it better than the apostolic movement. I feel like our singers are so anointed and we sing in the name. Our preachers, hopefully I'm one of them, but our preachers as a movement are so anointed and they preach in the name. I'm so thankful for that. But I hope that I can raise my son in the name. And I hope that I can go to work in the name. And I hope I can get up in the morning and glorify the name with my attitude. And I hope that I can pursue my hobbies but still give God glory through them. And if it is the desire of your heart to honor God and live in that name in every area of your life, I've asked you tonight that you would make an altar where you are. You can kneel, you can raise your hand, just I would ask that you respond in some way. God, help us do it all in your name. Help me trust your name to keep me through the trials of this life. Help me to trust your name to get me to heaven. Help me to trust your name in times of sickness, in times that I'm far from you. Help me to turn to your name when I need help or when I need just someone near to me. Help me to turn to your name as I go to work and as I do my hobbies and I go about my day. Help me to turn to your name when I'm raising my kids or when I'm trying to build a better marriage or a better home. Help me to turn to your name in every situation that I face, because you are the God who is above all. You have the name that is above all. And we give you all the glory tonight. And we give you all the praise. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.